carton. She laughs again, and little needles prick my skin. I don't like the way she said that, not one bit. What's that supposed to mean? I lift her arms from mine and turn around to face her. Dakota's face gives away her surprise at my reaction. Am I overreacting? I don't think that I am. I was just joking, Landon. I didn't mean anything by it. You two are so different, that's all. Everyone is different, Dakota. It's not your place to judge him or anyone. She sighs and sits down at the kitchen table. I know. I wasn't trying to judge him. I'm the last person who can judge anyone. She looks down at her hands. It was a shitty joke that I won't make again. I know he means a lot to you. My shoulders relax, and I start wondering why I got so irritated so quickly. It's like it came out of nowhere, although I do get tired of people piling on my stepbrother. Dakota seems remorseful. And Harden really is a tough pill to swallow. I can't really blame her for her opinion of him. She only knew him as the guy who smashed a cabinet full of dishes my dead grandma gave my mom, and as the guy who refused to call her by her actual name. Harden does this thing where he pretends that he doesn't know any female names except Tessa's. So Dakota became Delilah every time he addressed her. I don't know why he does it. And sometimes I actually wonder if, in fact, he really hasn't forgotten every woman's name except Tessa's. Weirder things have happened between those two. But I would rather not spend the entire night at odds with Dakota over one remark. Okay, let's just talk about something else, something lighter, I suggest. Since she's already apologized and seems like she genuinely didn't mean anything by her comment, I want to move on. I want to talk to her. I want to hear about her days and her nights. I want to lie next to her in bed and reminisce about our old wild teenage years when we had movie marathons on school nights and held pizza roll eating contests on my futon. My mom never questioned why I blew through bag after bag of pepperoni pizza rolls. She had reason to wonder what was going on when I started asking for the combination varieties, because she knew I hated them. But she never once asked me why Dakota ate so much every time she came over. I think she knew that since a couple of 40-ounce beers cost just as much as a bag of pizza rolls, the chances were slim that Dakota's freezer would have any food in it, much less name-brand pizza rolls. Thank you. Dakota looks down, and I smile at her and move closer. Come on, you. I dip down and lift her body into my arms, and she shrieks. She's light, even lighter than I remember, but it sure feels good to hold her in my arms. The 22 steps to the couch isn't long enough to make up for the last few months, but I drop her onto the cushions. She lands with a soft thud, and her body bounces up a few inches, and she shrieks again. I step back, and she's on her feet in no time, running after me with a huge grin. She's giggling, face red and hair wild. When she lunges at me, I jump out of the way. I slide on the thick rug that I was supposed to tape down the second day I moved in, and jump onto the chair, missing her fingertips by mere inches. Something creaks beneath me. I really hope I don't break this damn chair. I leap off of it and slide across the floor with the help of my socks. I lose my balance, and as my leg muscles strain, unsuccessfully, to right myself, I realize that my pants are so freaking tight that my legs are bending in a painful, unnatural way. Sitting on the floor, I pull one leg in and twist my body, and Dakota rushes over to me. Her face is worried when she puts one hand on my shoulders and tucks the other one under my chin, forcing me to look up at her. I can't stop laughing, and my stomach hurts from it, but my leg doesn't. Dakota's panic turns to amusement, and her laughter is my favorite song. I grab her shoulders and pull her down into my lap. Her hands wrap around my neck, and she pulls me closer to kiss her. Her mouth is softer than my touch, and not for the first time. I'm a fool for her as I trace her tongue with mine. Chapter 24. Dakota's hands slide from my neck to my arms, and she rubs them. Up and down she rubs, staying a few moments extra on my biceps. I can't pretend that I'm not proud of my body, especially after years of hating it. It makes me feel strong and sexy for the first time in my life, and I'm on cloud nine with her hands all over me. "I've missed you so much." Dakota's words are something between a cry and a moan, and they speak to me, to the man I am now, not just the boy I was when I met her. "I've missed you more," I promise her. Dakota's brown eyes are nearly closed, so heavily lidded that I can barely make out their color. Except I already know the color. I memorized her eyes long ago. I've memorized every single inch of her, from the birthmark on her left foot to the shade of her eyes. They're a soft brown with a flake of honey in the right one. She used to tell the kids at school that the light mark on her face was a scar from some fight she was in at her old school, but it wasn't true. She always told stories that made her sound as intimidating as possible, since she was nothing of the sort at home. "I need you, Landon." Dakota's voice is a desperate whisper as she kisses me. Her hands are on my back now, pulling my shirt up. Her mouth traces the nape of my neck, and her small hands work to take my shirt off. The floor is cold, but she's so damn hot, and I feel nervous and excited, and my mind is racing. "Help me," Dakota says, still tugging at my fabric. "I can't take it off like this," she says, and licks at my neck. I move quickly, hating that I have to pull away from her, but beyond ready to take off all of my clothes and hers. I tug at the fabric and toss the WCU t-shirt across the room, only it catches on the lamp and stays there, making the light slightly red. I'm so damn awkward that I can't even throw a t-shirt in a sexy way. Really? I'm hoping she noticed that I wore red, her favorite color, on me, and sweats just like she always loved. I used to find it weird that she liked my lounging about clothing so much, but given how I feel about her sports bra and yoga pants, I get it. "Come here," Dakota says, her voice like candy, sweet and addicting. I move back to her and wonder if we should go into my room. Is it weird to be sitting on the living room floor and taking off my clothes? Dakota answers that question for me. She pulls her shirt over her head and somehow manages to bring her sports bra with it. Between her exposed breasts, her wet lips, and the way she's looking at me, I may just embarrass myself before we even begin. I know that look, the one where her eyes are hooded and her mouth is slack. I've seen that look so many times, and here it is again. She's desire wrapped in sugar, and I need to taste her. I move to her, taking one soft breast in my hand and the other into my mouth. Her nipples are hard pebbles under my tongue, and hell, I've missed her body. She's moaning now, and I'm growing harder by the second. I've missed her. I've needed her. Dakota is moaning as she pushes her body into me, rising to her knees so I have better access to her. My hand moves from her breast down to her stomach, and my fingers find her pussy, soaked and throbbing. I use my index finger to draw small circles over her wetness. I know how crazy that drives her. Dakota's body has always been so responsive to my touch. She's usually dripping for me, so this comes as no surprise. What does kind of amaze me is that I'm thinking clearly while touching her. With my mouth sucking at her nipples and my finger drawing small circles over her swollen clit, I'm aware of every single thing. I'm aware of her hair pulled over her shoulder, her hand tugging at my hair as she gasps, "More, please, more." I'm not used to being so present when I'm touching her. I was always so lost in the sensation that I could barely form a thought. I use the tip of my tongue to trace the outline of her taut nipples, and Dakota yanks her body away from me. I pull back, worried that I did something wrong. She lies back a little and tugs at her tight pants, yanking them down her legs, letting me know that everything's more than fine. When I look down at her exposed body, she's not wearing panties. Jesus freaking Christ. She's not wearing panties, and she's literally glistening. She's so wet that she's probably going to leave a puddle on my floor, and I caused that. Knowing that feels pretty damn good. Make love to me, Landon. It's not a request. I know this. I know her. She lies on her back, and I suddenly remember when she said our sex life was boring, and my cheeks flush in embarrassment. Boring, huh? Dakota is completely naked, and my door is locked, and she's waiting for me to climb on top of her and probably expects we'll have normal, boring sex like we had in the past. Only to me, it wasn't even close to boring. Still, I'm going to show her that I'm not boring at all. I have a few tricks up my sleeve. I've watched enough porn that I'm practically an expert. Though if Dakota knew I watched porn, she would probably be pissed. She broke up with me once when she found a Playboy magazine under my mattress. Man, these teenage boys nowadays don't know how easy they have it. Having porn on their phones and not even needing to worry about their mom finding it when she cleans their room? Okay, I'm getting distracted. Back to being all adventurous and sexy and stuff. Stay still, I tell her, and she looks up at me. She nods, but she looks confused as I take my sweats and boxers off. I don't try to throw them. I just lay them next to us and act as if I'm continuing on in my plan. Except I don't have one. I want to blow her mind. I want her to remember me and never forget me and want me and need me all in 1 second of my touch. It's a lot to pull off, but I'm going to amaze. Are you okay? She asks, impatience clear in her tone. I nod and crawl to her, naked and hard and nervous. My hands touch her thighs, and she quivers as I slowly trace the tips of my fingertips over her soft skin. Goosebumps rise on her brown skin, and she's so beautiful. It's like she's the sun burning through me. I gently touch both of her knees and spread her thighs. She moves like she's going to sit up, but I push my hand out, willing her to stop. Let me try something. I move back and lower my mouth to her body. Her skin tastes like salt, and I'm so hard that it hurts. I kiss her skin, from her navel to her perky breasts, and back down again. She trembles beneath me, her breath so heavy that it makes me shake with desire. I need to be patient, to show her that I can please her, not be boring. My mouth travels lower, and I forge a trail of gentle kisses down her body, to her hip bones and down between her thighs. She gasps as the tip of my tongue meets her clit. My cock is throbbing, and my palms are probably sweating. Am I any good at this? I struggle to push all doubts from my mind and flatten my tongue over her. She moans my name when I lap around, licking at her wetness and sucking her swollen bud between my lips. Her fingers claw at my shoulders, and she says my name again and again. I must be doing something right. Her legs tighten, and I move my tongue faster, then slower, savoring her sweetness with my mouth. When her legs tighten around my neck, I bring one hand up to her breasts and move the other down between her legs. Slowly, I tease the entrance with my finger, and she groans, compliant and needy, and I feel like a damn king. I can't wait anymore. She pulls at my hair, then my shoulders, and I take one more lick and raise my body to cover hers. Please, she begs, and I line up the tip of my cock between her thighs, and she's panting, and I can't wait to be inside of her. I try to kiss her, but she moves her head, pushing her neck to my mouth. I suck on her skin, just enough to make her crazy, but not enough to leave a mark. I grab myself and push at her entrance while I grab her ass. But nothing happens. I reach back between my own legs and grip my cock in my hand and shrink back. Shrink is the right word. Why am I not hard? Is this some sick joke the universe is playing on me? I move my hand up and back down again, taking another look at Dakota's sexy body, the way her curly hair is a wild frame around the work of art that is her beautiful face, her full lips. I take in the way her breasts rest on her chest, small nipples still hard. What the hell is wrong with me? She's so sexy, so ready, and I'm soft? I keep touching myself, praying that I can get hard. This has never happened to me before. Why, oh why, is this happening now? What's wrong? Dakota asks, catching on to my unease. I shake my head and curse at my traitorous body. Nothing, I'm having difficulties. I hate to admit it, and the embarrassment I feel right now is like nothing I've ever felt before. But I'm not really in a position to lie. The problem is literally impossible to hide. Yep, I've never been this embarrassed. Not even when my mom caught us having sex in my room when she was supposed to be at work all day. Not even when Josh Slacky pulled my pants down in front of the entire fifth grade class. Not even when I fell in the shower while masturbating and Nora ran in to help me. And that last one was definitely up there on the embarrassment level. Difficulties? Dakota questions. She lifts herself up, and I want to crawl into a hole. A dark, dark hole where no one can find me. Yeah, is all I can think to say. You can't get hard? She guesses. And I really, really want to disappear. I lift my hands up and stay on my knees. I was, just a moment ago, I don't know why... Dakota raises her hand into the air. I don't get it. How can you not? Her eyes move to my cock, soft and hanging, and I feel about 2 inches tall. I'm sorry, I don't know what the hell is wrong with me. I move my hand quickly and run it through my hair, some part of me hoping she'll follow its arc and stop looking down there. Maybe we can try something else? Dakota nods. But she doesn't look anything like she did a few moments ago. Her eyes no longer look like a wild animal ready to devour me. She looks confused and embarrassed, and I hope she doesn't think this has anything to do with her or how she looks. She's so beautiful, so sexy, and any man would be stupid not to think so. I don't know what the hell is wrong with me right now, but I do know it's not her fault. No, let's try this, she says. And shifts, then lowers her body so her mouth is level with my cock. She takes me in her mouth, and I try to focus only on its warmth, the way her tongue feels tracing the head of my cock. The way I want this, really, really want this. Still, nothing happens. She stops after a few seconds and pulls back. Her face is stone as she looks at me, then away quickly. I'm so sorry, I explain. I don't know what the hell is wrong with me, but this is in no way your fault or anything to do with how I feel about you. Dakota looks away, and I can feel her shutting down inside. I don't know how to word what I'm trying to say. I can finish you, you know, with my mouth, I offer. She whips her head around, and the look she shoots me is one with a sharp end. She's clearly not into that idea at all. I really am sorry, I say again. Just stop talking, please. She stands up and gathers her clothing. I know better than to follow her when she walks down the hallway and into the bathroom. When the door slams, I think I can feel it reverberate through me, but I stay put. I feel like an asshole. And I am at a huge loss about how to fix this, I have no clue how to handle something like this, and I know Dakota enough to know that when she's shut down, she's shut down. That's it. I've embarrassed her, and I didn't mean to. I would never, ever mean to. I grab my pants from the floor and pull them on. I can't believe, after all this time thinking and fantasizing about her, I couldn't even get hard when it came time. I look down at my uncooperative dick. Way to go. I try to think. Think, Landon. I glare at the cats and hats on the wall lining the hallway, hoping they can help. The odd pictures offer no advice. Go figure. I stand outside the bathroom door and try to think of something to say, some way to apologize that will make her understand how sorry I am for making her feel like she isn't enough for me. She's more than enough. She's everything I've ever wanted. She's the only person I've ever been with. She was my first love, my only love. Dakota, I use my knuckles to tap on the door. She's silent. Seconds later, she turns the sink on, and I wait. Time seems to move incredibly slow when you've made a fool of yourself and someone else all in one quick motion. I knock again, and she doesn't answer. The water is still running, and it's been at least 3 minutes. I knock again. She doesn't answer. Dakota, are you okay? I say against the bathroom door. The running water is the only noise I hear when I press my ear to the door. Is she okay? Why is the water still running? On instinct, I turn the knob and open the door. I'm sorry, I begin again, but when I look around the small bathroom, it's empty. The window is open. The curtains are blowing in the wind. And I curse at my building for having a fire escape. Chapter 25. It's been less than 10 minutes since Dakota left my house, and I'm more and more ashamed by the minute. I hate that this happened to me, to her. I can't imagine how my inadequacy made her feel. Well, I can sort of imagine, given that she climbed down my fire escape and obviously preferred just getting the heck away from me. I wish she would have talked to me, even yelled at me, instead of sneaking out my bathroom window. I feel like shit about it. I imagine that she may feel even worse. Her words ring through my ears. I don't get it. How can you not? I don't get it. How can you not? I felt so much worse in that moment, and now these words won't stop looping through my mind. I don't get it. How can you not? I sit on the couch and bury my face in my hands. Dakota is probably not going to want to talk to me for a while, maybe never again. The thought of that makes my head spin. I can't imagine her being completely out of my life. The notion is so strange. Too strange. I've known her half of my life, and even when we broke up, I still knew she was out there, not hating me. Her having bad feelings toward me for the rest of our lives just wouldn't be right. It would be like messing with the universe. A knock on my door pulls me from my thoughts, and I jump up. It must be Dakota, back to hear my apology, or possibly even offer her own. As I rush to the door, another knock sounds and I yank it open. Only it's not Dakota. It's Nora, with some groceries. Can you grab something, please? She asks, struggling with the bags. And I grab as many as I can, careful not to accidentally make her drop them as I help. When I glance inside them, there's lots of green stuff. I can't tell what any of it is, except that it's green and looks kind of fluffy. The heaviest of the three bags makes a clinking sound when I put it on the counter, and when I peek inside, I find 3 bottles of wine. Sorry, she says as she puts the other bag on the kitchen counter. I was either going to lose an arm or the wine, and after today, I'd rather lose an arm. She begins to pull stuff out like she lives here, and I watch her silently navigate my kitchen and place her food inside my fridge. She pulls out the bottles of wine, one by one, and puts them in the freezer. I thought that, unlike liquor, wine froze, but I don't want to ask her and look like an idiot. "Are you waiting for Tessa or something?" I ask, unsure how to start a conversation with her, or if I should. Things feel distant between us since Dakota yelled at her for being around me. Nora nods. "Yep. She's having a rough night, too. A 20-top just walked in, and they put them in her section, even though she's still new." She rolls her eyes. I got bitched out for bitching out the hostess. "Seems fair," I shrug, smiling so she knows I'm joking. She smiles. "Touché." I watch as she opens a drawer and pulls out the cutting board. She doesn't do anything with it. She just leaves it sitting next to the microwave while she empties the last bag. I lean awkwardly against the counter and think of an exit plan before I become a burden. "Oh my God," Nora says, touching her forehead with the tips of her fingers. "I'm sorry. Are you busy or having company? I just barged in here and started unloading groceries and didn't think to ask if I'm in the way." She's not in the way now. I'm so, so, so glad she didn't come 10 minutes earlier. "No, not at all. I'm just going to study and go to bed. You'll have the kitchen to yourself," I tell her. She blows a loose strand of dark hair out of her face, and it falls right back down in front of her eyes. She's still wearing her work uniform, the same one Tessa wears, black pants, white button-up shirt, and that bright green tie. Nora's shirt is tighter than Tessa's, or so it seems. "Thank you. I just really needed to not go home to my apartment tonight. I had such a shitty shift, and frankly, I can't handle any of those bitches right now," she huffs. Her eyes meet mine, and she covers her mouth. "No offense." "None taken," I tell her, meaning it. I don't ever want to be in the middle of Dakota and Nora's friendship, or lack of friendship, or roommateship, or whatever. I would rather be in Madam Undersecretary Professor Umbridge's office staring at cat pictures while she tortures me. Both Dakota and Nora are raging fires, and I'd rather not become a pile of ash by being too close to their flames. "I'm going to make some food if you want to eat. I just grabbed a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to see what I can whip up," Nora offers. This is the most we've spoken in a while, and I'm sort of glad she's speaking to me again. I figured we would both avoid each other and make things awkward, but this is a much better alternative. "I'm not really hungry," I say, even though I am. "I just ate," I lie. I'm pretty sure Nora got stuff to make her and Tessa dinner, not Tessa's dorky roommate, and I don't want to lurk around longer than I'm wanted. Nothing is worse than the feeling of questioning whether you're wanted or not. It's even worse than knowing you aren't, because at least then you know for sure. There's no desperate hope lingering that maybe your company is wanted. "Okay, I'm going to leave the extras out for Tessa if you change your mind," Nora says, her eyes on my chest. I should have put a shirt on because now all I can think about is the first time she touched me. And the second. And when she kissed me. And the way her lips tasted like candy and I wanted more. I need to think about something else. Anything else? Cakes. Big, fluffy cakes with piles of purple ice cream and intricate little flowers. Not the icing that was smeared on her shirt. Cakes and cooking and non-sexy things. Like her cooking. I do enjoy Nora's food. She's a hell of a cook. Thinking about her cooking reminds me of cakes, which reminds me of Ellen's birthday tomorrow. I still have no idea what to get her. I was going to ask Dakota for help, but that's obviously not in the cards now. "Are you good at getting people gifts?" I blurt out. Nora turns to me, her brows furrowed, and she cocks her head. "Huh?" I cringe at my own awkwardness, like for birthdays and stuff. "Sort of. I mean, I haven't bought anyone a gift in a while, but I can try to help." "Who's it for? Dakota?" Maybe you can get her something dance-related or a new yoga mat or something. I didn't even know Dakota was into yoga. It's a strange thought that Nora knows things about her that I don't. It's not for Dakota, it's for this girl I know. Yikes, that sounded weird. Maybe I should explain it's for this 17-year-old girl, so not really someone... No, wait, that sounds worse. And would it be even worse still if I now backtracked and explained that it was for a neighbor, like I was expecting Nora to care? Like I was somehow hitting on Nora or something? Ugh. I don't understand these things. Okay. Nora looks puzzled, but doesn't comment on my obvious discomfort. What types of things does she like? Nora continues to put the food away, and I wonder if I should be helping her. I honestly have no idea where this stuff goes, or how she's going to make a meal out of a can of almonds and a bag of Brussels sprouts. I have haunting memories of being made to eat Brussels sprouts as a kid. I wonder if Nora makes them taste better somehow. I'm not sure. I know she studies a lot, and she doesn't like flowers. Smart girl. I hate flowers, too. At first, they're so beautiful, but soon enough, you're forced to watch them wither and waste away, and you just end up having to throw them out, and they're messy. A complete waste of time. Like relationships. Her voice is so flat that I can't tell if she's joking or not. I try to defend love, even though I'm clearly not in a place to do so. Not all relationships are like that. Nora pulls the plastic bag off some broccoli, and I watch her eyes look everywhere except at me. So, how long have you known her? What else do you know about her? Nothing, really. I shrug my shoulders. Nora takes the bunch of broccoli over to the sink and turns on the water. Nothing else? She questions. Then why are you getting her a gift? Are you close friends? I get the feeling she's trying not to be too nosy, but I'm bringing all this up quite awkwardly. And since she's given me an entree to explain, I say, she works downstairs at the corner store. I wouldn't say we're friends, really, but her birthday is tomorrow, and I don't think anyone even cares. Nora turns around from her spot at the sink, the broccoli in her hands dripping water on my floor, and says, wait, what? I shrug. Uncertain of what her tone means. Yeah, it's terrible. She's turning 18 and all she does is work down there. And study. She's always studying. Nora holds up her hand, wet broccoli and all. You're doing something for the girl downstairs? The one that always wears the headbands? I nod. Her eyes find mine and rest there. She tucks her bottom lip between her teeth, and I have to look away from her stare. Her thick eyebrows are bunched together again, and her cheeks are glowing. She's wearing more makeup than she usually does, but it looks nice. She reminds me of the women in those videos Tessa always watches on YouTube. She always says she's going to try to recreate the way they put on makeup, but when all is said and done, the products usually end up in the trash, and her eyes are puffy from tears, not covered in color. You're something else, Landon Gibson, Nora says, and my cheeks flush. I turn a little, pretending that I'm thirsty, and open the fridge to grab a Gatorade. I don't say anything else. I don't know what to say, and I know that if I stand here any longer, I'm going to make a fool of myself somehow. I've already done that enough for one day. And I don't want to scare Nora away from the apartment. Tessa needs as many friends around her as possible, and Nora seems to be a good one. I'm going to finish my paper, the one that's already completed. If you need anything, I'll be in my room, I tell her, shoving my hands into the pockets of my sweats. Nora nods and turns back to the sink to rewash her broccoli. When I get to my room, I close the door and lean my back against it. The wood is cold against my bare skin, and I'm exhausted. Today freaking sucked, and I'm so glad it's over. I don't bother opening a textbook to even pretend like I'm studying. I don't even bother turning on my light. I just lie down on my bed and close my eyes. I move around for a while, willing sleep to come to me, but my mind is still reeling from Dakota. And now from Nora. She's in my kitchen, and I have to keep my distance from her, even though I'm not sure that I want to. Chapter 26. After a few minutes of silence, music begins to play from the kitchen. I know the song. I sit up, not ready to get out of bed, but impressed that Nora knows Kevin Garrett too. This is one of my favorites. Ironically, the lyrics speak to me more now than ever before. I hear the humming of Nora's voice in my kitchen and imagine her moving her body to the slow beat, singing the words, gliding effortlessly around my kitchen. I lie back on the bed again, this time with my back against the metal headboard. This bed took hours to put together, yet still creaks when I move. The day I got it, Tessa and I spent the entire afternoon at IKEA, and it was absolute hell. The store was crowded and way too big. As we tried to follow the map, Tessa kept going on about a red ladle in some book she was reading about a murderous stalker guy who, for some weird reason, she was in love with. She literally told me that Beck, the main woman, aka his prey, doesn't deserve him. I rolled my eyes and told her she needs to get out more, but when I Googled the book, a lot of people seemed to have the same reaction. It's fascinating the way a narrator can have you questioning what you think you know about the world. No matter how great the book was, or how many red ladles IKEA sells because of it, I would be perfectly fine if I never have to go there again. They have these small pencils you can write the numbers down of the items you want, and after walking through the entire showroom, we wanted everything. So when we got home, we had a million items that were hell to carry upstairs and even worse to put together. To top it off, we were missing a bundle of screws, and I waited on hold with customer service for 40 minutes before I hung up and decided to just go to the hardware store down the street. And all that was after having to hire and haggle with a guy with a van to take us to the store and haul our stuff back. All that created another place to avoid: Craigslist's odd jobs listings. Nora's hum singing grows louder, and I grab my laptop from the desk and switch the light on. I need to keep myself occupied and distracted. I really shouldn't go out there. But I'm beginning to feel all rebellious, because the more I focus on why I shouldn't go back into the kitchen, the more I want to. Being friends with Nora is fine and dandy. It's not like Dakota's going to burst back in here now. We can be friendly when Tessa is around, but there's something about Nora that screams danger. And I'm already in a mess as it is. I know we would never date or anything close to it, but if she kissed me again, or if I keep thinking about her kissing me, things will get awkward for Tessa. Ugh, it's not even easy inside my own home. I press the power button on my laptop and try to remember my password. I keep having to change it because I can't remember it, and the more times I change it, the more difficult Apple makes me make it. For example, the first password was Landon123, and the last one I can remember was Landon123123!@!! I thought I saved it in my phone somewhere, but I don't remember that either. Finally, after 4 tries, I get in. My research paper for U.S. History 201 is still on the screen, even though I finished it. I have 3 windows open: my iTunes, my paper, and Yelp. Since I moved to Brooklyn, I use Yelp nearly every day. Except when I did 0 research on the bar Nora was taking me to, I suddenly realize. That's weird. I normally check everything out first. Feels so long ago now, even though it hasn't been long at all. It's hard to believe that Dakota left less than an hour ago. I feel like it's been hours, days even. I'm going to wait until tomorrow to call her. I know that when she needs space, I should give it to her. The next song starts in the kitchen, and it's Kevin Garrett again. He's singing about being pushed away and feeling alone, and I've loved him ever since I heard his cover of Skinny Love, but I've never related as much to him as I do now. Come to think of it, nearly every song on his EP describes what I'm going through right now with Dakota. Nora's voice is louder now as she sings along. Could it really be such a bad thing for me to go out there and just make casual conversation? It's not like we've got something going on, and I'm still whatever this is with Dakota, so it's not like she's going to kiss me or anything. Without thinking, I raise my fingers to my lips and I shove my laptop away. I'm a grown man. I can surely handle being friends with someone I'm attracted to. It happens all the time in movies. Except they usually end up together in the end. I really should stop comparing movies to reality and porn to actual real-life sex. Movies and porn are so far-fetched compared to life, especially to my life. This is the second time I've thought about porn today. I swear I'm not as obsessed with it as it seems. I've actually watched less of it than most guys my age, I'm sure. I really need to stop rambling inside my head and go out there and socialize. I should put a shirt on first, right? Definitely. I open my closet and grab the first sweatshirt I see. It's blue and green, and the logo for the Seahawks is in a big circle on the chest. The Seahawks remind me of when Harden and I went to a game last year, and he nearly got into a fight over some guy being a jerk to me. I don't usually condone violence, but that guy was a douche. Now that I'm dressed, I go into the kitchen, and Nora is still singing when I enter. Her back is to me, and she's standing over the stove, turning one of the burner knobs. She's taken off her long-sleeved work shirt and is now wearing a black tank top. The straps of her white bra are visible, and I can see that she has a tattoo on the top of her back, just above her bra line. A dandelion with half of the seeds detached and scattered across her back, as if someone had made a wish and blown on it. I guess I'm not surprised that she has a tattoo. Her body seems to be made for it somehow. I lean against the doorway and watch her, waiting for her to notice me. She grabs a bottle of olive oil and pours some into the sauté pan on the burner. Her hips move slowly, and her voice is softer now, like both cooking and singing this song are second nature. I watch as she takes the chopped broccoli and slides it into the sizzling pan. She turns the heat down when it sizzles a little too much, and grabs a spatula from the utensil holder on the counter and stirs. I feel creepy, like the guy in Tessa's book as I watch her. She hasn't even caught on that I'm here watching her. Is she completely lost in her own thoughts? Or does she just zone out when she's cooking? These are simple things I will never know about this mystery woman. The song changes again, and now it's The Weeknd. I don't know if I can stand here and watch her dance to him. His songs are already sexual enough. Her hips are so curvy and her pants are so tight. I should take my ass back to my room and go to bed. Yet 30 seconds later, I'm still watching. Nora stirs the broccoli, pouring some sort of sauce on it, and then turns around, spotting me. She doesn't act surprised or embarrassed at all when she sees me lingering in the doorway. Her lips turn up into a smile, and she waves the spatula for me to come closer. The oven beeps, and she sings her way to it. I don't say anything. I just walk over and sit down at the kitchen table. The kitchen is small. The table is in the corner, but still only a few feet away from the stove and the fridge. Nora grabs a sunflower-printed potholder from the counter and opens the oven. She pulls out a cake and sets it on the empty side of the stovetop. She's definitely good at multitasking. I can barely bake a store-bought cake mix and breathe at the same time, let alone make a cake from scratch and cook something on the stove simultaneously. Tessa just texted me. The 20 top just got their food. She's going to be a while, Nora tells me. I glance at her and nod, trying desperately to ignore the way her breasts threaten to spill out of her tank top. Would it be rude to ask her to put her other shirt back on? Yes, I'm positive that it would be. And it would reveal that I've been watching a little closer than I'd like to let on. That sucks. I stop staring at her boobs. How's she liking it there? She tells me that she likes it, but you know she would never complain. I keep the conversation neutral, unrelated to any part of her body, no matter how sexy those parts may be. Nora grabs a fork and sticks it into one of the corners of the cake. She tosses it into the sink and turns to me. She says she likes it, and now that Mr. Blonde Dr. Guy Robert is there, I'm sure she'll like it even more. I glance at her, then at the wall, then back at her. I don't know what to say. I don't know how much Nora knows about Tessa and Harden's breakup, and I don't want to overshare. It's not my place. He's cute. Tessa says you met him before, too. He's cute, right? Is he attractive? I don't even remember what he looks like. Oh, come on. Please don't tell me you're one of those guys who's too insecure about his own masculinity to say another man is attractive. Nora rolls her eyes. I laugh. No, I'm not. I just don't remember what he looks like. She smiles. Good. I didn't peg you for the type. He's hot, though. Take my word for it. He wasn't that hot. All I remember is blonde hair. I'm sure he's not that hot. Maybe it's that he's in medical school that makes him more attractive to women? I don't know. Sure, I shrug my shoulders. Nora lifts the pan and dishes the steaming broccoli onto a plate. Look, I know Harden is your brother and all, she begins. And I also know that Tessa is still madly in love with him. But I don't think her being out in the dating world is such a bad thing. She isn't ready now, but as her friend and completely biased and loyal to her, I want her to be happy. I didn't expect the conversation to go this way. I've tried to fix a guy before, and... She doesn't finish her sentence. Her voice catches like she caught herself saying something she shouldn't. You're entitled to your completely biased opinion, I smile at her to ease the discomfort of whatever it is going on in her mind. Even if it's wrong. She laughs at this and walks over to sit next to me at the table. What's he like, this Harden guy? You've met him, haven't you? I have to think back to a few months ago. Yeah, he met her once or twice, maybe. To my knowledge, they never spoke directly, but they definitely crossed paths. I think I remember him calling her the wrong name. Yes, I've met him. But what's he really like? Is this one of those situations where she's better off without him, and as her friend I should give her a push in the right direction, or do they actually have a shot at getting their shit together and being together? Nora speaks quickly, like this is important to her, like Tessa's well-being is important to her. I like that. It's complicated. I pick at the chipped paint on the table. IKEA fails once again. But as her best friend and his stepbrother, I try to stay as neutral as possible. I care about them both, and if I ever thought it was a waste of either of their time, I would tell them. But I honestly don't. I truly believe they'll be fine, somehow. And if they're not, well, my whole family is screwed because we all love both of them. Nora stares at me, seeming to examine every inch of my face. Do you always say exactly what you feel? Her question surprises me, and she lifts both of her elbows onto the table and rests her chin in her hands. I shrug. I try to, except that it's not like I'm going to say I can't stop thinking about how beautiful you are. But sometimes less is more. I thought that rule applied only to plastic surgery and douche capes. Nora challenges. What the heck is a douche cape? I must know the answer to this. Nora grins, obviously happy to lay on me her knowledge of whatever a douche cape is. You know those shirts that men wear that are covered in rhinestones and big crosses, The ones that are always too tight, and the men wearing them are always too greasy and look like they just shot up steroids in the bathroom. I don't even try to stop my laughter. She tilts her head and lifts up her hand. Her index finger touches the tip of my nose, and she giggles. What an odd but adorable gesture. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And I do. Thank God I've never worn one, but half of the guys at my high school did. Her description is spot on, and thinking about it again makes me laugh even harder. I do, I admit. She smiles again, and when she closes her mouth, her lips look like a heart, full and plump and pink. Do you want to help me decorate the cake? After what you said, I made one for your friend downstairs. Everyone should have a cake on their birthday, Nora says, kindness dripping from her words like honey. I love that she would make a cake for Ellen, even though she spent the entire day at work baking and having a shitty day. That's so amazing of you, I say with a smile. Then add, when's your birthday? I don't know why, I just asked that. Next week, actually. But if we're going to be friends, you have to promise me something. Her voice is lower now, serious even. Okay. You won't ever, ever do anything for me for my birthday. What a weird promise to make. Okay. She shifts in the chair and stands up. I mean it. No cards, no cakes, no flowers. Deal? Her eyes are dark, and her lips are pulled tight. Deal. And with that, she nods, letting me know she's happy with my agreement. Instantly, the tension that had filled the room dissipates. I don't know why she's requesting this, or if she's joking or not, but I don't know her well enough to pry. If the day comes when we're close enough for her to tell me, I'll gladly listen. But I get the feeling that there are very few people that know anything about this woman. So, what color do you think we should go with? Nora goes to the farthest cabinet lining the wall. I've never even opened that cabinet before. Maybe that's why I didn't know it was full of food. Nora pulls out a bag of powdered sugar and a little box with a rainbow on it. Food coloring, maybe? My thoughts are confirmed when she opens the box and pulls out four little bottles with white caps, red, yellow, green, and blue. Can you grab a stick of butter and the milk from the fridge? She asks. Her hands tear at the bag of powdered sugar, and she opens the drawer in front of her. She pulls out measuring cups, and I find it funny that I live here and didn't even know half of this stuff was in here. Yes, ma'am, I tell her. And she turns around, her lips forming a devilish smile. And I'm too innocent for her to be looking at me like this. Chapter 27. Turns out I'm an awful baker. Awful as in I can't even decorate a plain sheet cake without making a mess. Just one or two drops this time, Nora reminds me. As if I didn't learn my lesson 30 seconds ago when she shrieked and shouted at me for dumping half the bottle of food coloring into the first bowl of icing. How was I supposed to know that this little bottle held enough power to turn Ellen's mouth red for a week? We need more sugar, Nora says, and I grab the bag from the counter next to me. The powdered sugar moves to one side, and I realize that she cut the end open. I try to grab it before it spills out, and fail. The sugar dumps out of one end and onto the counter and the floor. A cloud of white dust puffs up in my face and Nora waves her hand around as the sugar cloud covers her. Oh my God, she shrieks, humor evident in her voice. I sit the plastic bag on the counter and look at the mess I made. As if it's mocking me, the bag falls to the floor and the last bit of sugar puffs out. My sweatshirt is so covered in white that the Seahawk printed on the front is barely visible. When Nora smiles, her eyes crinkle at the corners, and I sort of like it. Sorry, I didn't know it was open. I wipe my hand across the counter. And while I like the way the soft sugar feels against my skin, I should never, ever try to bake anything again. Noted. Nora's black tank top is covered in blotches of powdered sugar, along with her arms, her hands, her cheeks, and her dark hair. It's okay. Her smile is contagious, and I'm not even embarrassed at the mess I made. It feels weird that she's not mad about it, and I don't know why. She's just smiling, looking from the mess to me, and shaking her head with her lips pressed into a smile. Nora moves the mixing bowl out of the way and grabs a roll of paper towels. She turns the water on in the sink and uses her hands to push as much powder into the basin as possible. During my first semester at culinary school, I forgot to put the guard on a 40-quart mixer. A 10-pound bag of confectioner's sugar went everywhere. Needless to say, I had to stay an extra 3 hours to clean and redo my assignment. And my teacher was such a prick, he wouldn't let anyone help me. Her hands are moving quickly to clean the mess I made, and I should probably be helping her. "Did you pass the class? I mean, after you redid the entire thing," I ask her. "Nope. Like I said, my instructor was a real prick." I look at her, and she lifts her sugary hand to scratch her face. She wipes at her cheek, smearing white on her tanned skin. I grab a paper towel and start to help her. "That's why I want to be a teacher." She tosses the empty sugar bag into the trash. "To be a prick?" I laugh and shake my head. "No, to be the opposite. I had this teacher in 10th grade, Mr. Happeneck, who went above and beyond his job. He was everything a teacher was supposed to be, but the older I got, the less my teachers cared about their jobs. And when I looked around my school, I saw so many kids who needed that one good teacher. It makes a difference, you know?" "What was your high school like?" Nora asks. "Terrible. A shithole." "It was okay," I say. I don't think she wants to hear about my actual experience. I don't think I'd want to tell her. It's kind of like when people ask, "How are you?" and really only want you to say, "Fine." Any further explanation makes them uncomfortable. "I didn't get to go to a real high school. I went to a small private school near Seattle. It was awful," Nora says, surprising me with another small glimpse into who she is. "My school was awful too," I admit. Nora regards me with a skeptical look. "I bet you were one of the popular kids. You played sports, didn't you?" I nearly laugh at the idea of me being a popular kid. "A jock? Me? Not even close." "Not quite." My cheeks get red. I can feel it. "I wasn't anything, really. I wasn't cool enough to be popular, but I wasn't smart enough to be considered a nerd. I was just in that middle ground where no one gave a shit about me. I was chubby then, so I got teased when the popular kids got bored with their usual prey. But honestly, I didn't realize how bad my high school